disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, we know that when we come together and you speak to us, it is a divine appointment. And Lord, help us today to come with our hearts open, believing, mixing faith with that which we hear, and desiring above all that you continue to mould and perfect us in your image. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, praise God, we're again in the room today. And we get a few of these technical problems which I've been battling this morning. But the Lord is always one step ahead. And we know that there is an enemy out there who doesn't like the Word of God certainly being preached now in these last days. But thank the Lord that he has that manner for us. Praise his name. Well, I have a teaching today to exhort us in, and we have a title for this. Is the light shining through? Is the light shining through? And that is what we're going to look at today and encourage ourselves. And we're going to base our teaching this morning from Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And we'll look at primarily verses 14 to 16 of Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16, which says, "You are the light of the world. And a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Well, there, that is part of the Beatitudes, the great Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave. And in many, many ways, this sermon that he gave, very much of the New Testament that we have, and the epistles and the writings of the disciples, really are from this teaching, this seed that Jesus sowed here on the Sermon on the Mount. But our teaching today is the light shining through? And fundamentally, only God can answer that question into our lives, but he wants us open and receptive, in which we can see that there's more of that light that can shine. And so we know, don't we, that Jesus calls us to be lights of the world. In many, many ways, Jesus is calling us to let his light shine through us as disciples. Because this light is not about us. It's not about a light that we can achieve. It's a light that, as we yield over and trust him and believe by faith, that his light, being the light of the world, is that light that shines through us. Now, that might sound a very simple, basic statement, but a lot of believers have a problem with God's light. They prefer their own light, their own good works, their own control, and doing it how they want to do it. But this light is a conditional light. It is a light that God has to work in and through us as we decrease, that he increases. And of course, we all know that, but to get that ultimate result, it's that yielding over to the Spirit of God. Let's just remind ourselves in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. That you may become, well, let's take it from verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So, of course, you have to be a new creation, the new birth, Christ in you. And this is what he's saying here, that we're not to live like the world, complaining, disputing, demanding our own rights, our will, but that you become blameless, harmless. So that's what really creates a lot of blame, a lot of problems in our lives, because we're demanding our own way. We're complaining, we're disputing, we're arguing things. And eventually we start to even argue with the Word of God and argue and get caught up in church politics and preferring one minister to another. And so it goes on, just like the world acts. And he says those sort of things hinder the light in you that the world should be seeing. And this is why, of course, God presents the cross, because the cross deals with all of that. If, of course, we're willing to yield to the conditions of the cross, allowing the Holy Spirit to daily crucify us so that that light can be seen in and through each of us. But, of course, we'll look at some of that as we continue to open this up. But we are the light of the world, and that's what it's to be. And we know that so much of Christendom sadly reflects the world. The world has its own light, but it is a counterfeit light. As we know that Satan is the god of this world at present, and that is a counterfeit light. He counterfeits everything that God does. And sadly, a lot of professing Christendom is reflecting that light, which, of course, doesn't deal with that counterfeit light. And that is the problem. And that is why it's full of worldliness and shallowness. It's fundamentally, it's empty. So much in Christendom, and many of these churches that we see are fundamentally dead. They would be totally dead if it were not for a remnant. So God has a remnant everywhere that still keeps that light shining. Which is interesting, isn't it? That God can have his light shining through a remnant, because that light is so powerful. So we can take comfort, can't we, when it seems that there's only a few of us. And we spoke about that last week, didn't we, that Elijah felt he was the only one, but God said, I've got news for you, there's 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. And that's how it feels. But God so often works through the minority. And it's just enough that through the minority, that light shines in this world, and that will speak to those who have been eternally called from the foundation of the world. But in a lot of Christendom, sadly, it's shallow, it's empty. It reminds me of like those poppies that you have in the field that grow. And when they die, they leave a poppy seed. And they're quite attractive, those poppy seeds. A lot of people collect them. And fundamentally, they should be full of seeds. But sometimes when you look at those poppy heads and you shake them or you open them up, you find that they're actually empty. There's nothing in them. There's no seed there to continue to germinate. And that sadly can be a lot of Christendom. Is it also about my life? Am I fundamentally like that? We have to ask these questions and bring them before God. Well, there are fundamentally in Scripture, if we see it there, there are three sort of characteristics of light and how light manifests. And we see the purpose of this. For example, the position of light, how light is positioned in order to shine. And then we secondly are going to look at the nature of what light does and should do. And thirdly, we're going to look at the purpose of light. What is its purpose? So we're going to really look at three of these characteristics with regard to light. Now, firstly, the position of light. Well, we know positionally today, as we're meeting here in God's presence, we know where the light is positioned. We might not always see it, certainly in this country, because we get a lot of cloud. But we know above that cloud where the light is positioned, the sun. And we know positionally where it is. And we know roughly where to look. So if you want to look at light that we understand, that God's created, we find that we position our heads in a certain position. And what do? We look up. We don't look across, or we don't look down. We look up to where the position of light is, which is called the sun. And so we know what to do instinctively. So it is important for us to understand the position of this light. And Scripture does give us an indication, because it's set upon a hill. It's a lampstand, as we've just read to you. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So it's lifted up. It's elevated in order to be seen. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. So he says, let your light shine. So God spiritually elevates us. We are spiritually elevated, taken out of this world, even though we're left in it as sojourners. But our heart, our affection, our faith, our future, our vision, everything is set above where the light of God is, heaven. That is where our heart and affection should be. And much of our overcoming is Satan trying to fight and war against that affection that God has put in your heart and my heart. That is a lot of our warfare. He wants that affection. He wants that place that God has now resided in your life. And Satan wants to try and snatch that, take that away. He wants to keep you earthbound, believing its lies, its counterfeit light. So that is much of our warfare and our overcoming each day. But praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ has overcome the powers of darkness. And guess where he's seated? In heaven, at the right hand of the Father, interceding, supplicating for our hearts, our attitudes, for us, so that we can still be heavenly minded, seeking the kingdom, seeking his true light. So that is the position what we find ourselves in. And we are that light. Today, sadly, it reflects too much of the world. It reflects too much of the world's ideas, its goals, its pursuits. It reflects too much of political ideas, all the worries, the anxieties, humanitarian interests, social interests. I could just go on and on and on. That's what it does. But we're not to be found of that. We're above that. But sadly, that is what a lot of the world sees religion and Christendom. She doesn't stand as a beacon, warning of the rocks and the perils that lie ahead. She no longer is speaking prophetically, warning. But we know that God has and is working with a prophetic people, overcomers, the first fruits, who will be speaking, who will be used at that right divine appointment. Could it be why we find ourselves still in many ways in that prison experience? Because the church isn't yet desperate enough. The world isn't yet desperate enough. And one could raise that question, well, look what we hear now in the news and the wars and rumours of wars and what is going on and the rapid falling away and everything. Well, God knows the state of when the world and the church, the woman, is desperate enough. Because desperate people will hear. At the moment, they don't want to hear. That doesn't excuse us from our responsibilities of sharing and pursuing any opportunity, but at the moment they don't really want to hear yet. And that's the same with a lot of Christendom. And it could be the same with us as well. We're not exempt from this. So this light that should be no longer draws people into the safe waters, which of course is what a beacon, a lighthouse, should do. That is the nature of them. So it is a warning. So its position, that light, positionally, is fundamentally to warn, to speak, to reveal that he is the true light of the world. And that there is a counterfeit light. It is to divide the two. We then, secondly, we look at the nature of this light. Remember, we're basing this from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14-16. Jesus is teaching here. So, secondly, we're looking at the nature of this light. And the nature is to banish darkness. That is the nature of this light. That light that God has set in us in the church. And of course we get understandings of this in Genesis chapter 1 verses 1 to 5. Right there at creation. God speaking the word. I'll just remind you of this in Genesis 1 verses 1 to 5. In the beginning God created heavens and the earth. God doesn't try to explain himself. He doesn't try to say who he is or whatever he is. We get the revelation right there in the first verse. In the beginning, God. Period. That is who he is, has been, and always will be. And he goes on. And the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So he's moving over in order to start to speak the word into being. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. So God's purpose was to have darkness and light. This is what he's creating for man. They're not his conditions. He is eternal light, always has been, always will be. He is light. But he's speaking, he's creating here what he wants. And he says, then let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good. And because it was good, that continued to inspire in which to create more. And God divided the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Adam, Eve didn't call that. God called it. So God has named it for a great purpose and a reason. And without night and without light, nothing else can exist. So that is the most important creation elements that God created there in order for life to sustain. So we're seeing its nature in what it is. And so light in its nature will always penetrate the darkness and reveal what is there. This is why we're called to be children of the light, because the nature of light will always penetrate into darkness. And God doesn't need a huge amount of saints to penetrate darkness. God only called one person, one saviour, his name was Jesus, to be the light of the whole world. So God isn't always in numbers. That is why he says, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of that group, that gathering. What? The light of the world penetrating into darkness. Wonderful. See, only God can do that. What is the Gospel of John, John chapter 1? What does that tell us in John chapter 1 and verse 5? John chapter 1 and verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Of course, that's speaking of John being that witness, that true light, preparing the way for the coming Messiah. He had a revelation of that light. And the sons of God, the overcomers, also have a revelation of that light. That is why I responded to the deeper life teaching. When I heard the deeper life teaching taught years and years back, my spirit and heart said, that is light. And I pursued it. Even though it was coming through an earthen vessel, and yes, earthen vessels are not yet perfected, but the nature of the teaching, everything about it said, that is light. You pursue that light, something within you. If you're truly born again, filled, baptized with the Spirit, you want that light and want to maintain and be in that light. Because in that light, you not only see Jesus, but you can discern between what is of God and what is not. That light dispels confusion. And there are too many of our brothers and sisters who are so confused, going around from here and there, don't know really what God is saying or doing. And that is sad. So the nature of God's light is to banish darkness. And that's why disciples are to be the light of the world. We're to be disciples to dispel that darkness, to dispel that spiritual darkness that's in the world. And that's why your lights at home, at work, amongst people, wherever you go, wherever you find yourself, you are light if you walk in that light. and you are dividing that light. No, you can't see it. Very often it seems as though nothing's happening. Well, I've just gone down the shops, or I had to go into the bank, or whatever it is. You are light at that moment in darkness in that situation. And let God be God, what he knows what to do. It's just as well that God doesn't reveal to us too much about all of this. We'd either run away or we'd become very big-headed and puffed up. But if you walk in that light as he is light, and that light resides and lives in you, then that light in you is challenging darkness wherever you go. So that is another reason why God still keeps us in this world. Sometimes we feel, what purpose do I serve? I feel I just want to go home. Take me home, Lord, tonight. I've had enough. And does God answer your prayers? No, he doesn't. We probably all of us have said it when we've come to the end of ourselves. And why doesn't he answer that prayer? Because it's about light and darkness. He's invested light in you and I for that purpose. So it's got nothing to do about how you feel, what your circumstances look like, whatever. It's what God has decreed. Let's look at some scriptures. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And he says how you walk it, because he says the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, righteousness, and so on. You can't have fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So who is the one that exposes? The one who lives in you. He will create the conditions in which to expose, if we're open. And sometimes we have to speak the truth. Sometimes we have to defend the name of Jesus. They may react, but that's what it is to be a Christian. If they hated Jesus, Jesus said they'll hate you. So what's new? The only problem we have is that we still don't like that rejection. And if there's that rejection that works in us, that's a sign we still think we're important. Important, proud people hold on to rejection. But when we see who we are in Christ, that we're nothing, it's not about me now, it's about him, then it places it in a completely different situation. And I'm not saying to be rejected is easy. But you can soon turn it, if you're rejected, into praise and worship. Well, praise God. This must be righteousness that's working in my life for God's glory. I am going just tasting a little bit of what our Lord Jesus tasted. And he was perfect, undefiled. See, we can turn these things into the positive if we want to. How about 1 Peter chapter 2? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. Sorry, I'm looking at 1 Peter. Sorry, I was on 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Here we are. who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. And he goes on, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honourable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. It's coming a day when they will acknowledge God because you have not bowed your knee to the spirit of this age, but you have allowed the Holy Spirit to work in you to keep you in that light, that that light may shine through. So this is the nature, the end result of what this light does. And look here also in 1 Thessalonians 5:5. I know we know these scriptures, but it's good to take comfort from them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. And sometimes you need to just remind and tell Satan that. When things appear to be going wrong, or when you've fallen short, or if you have sinned, get yourself right with God, come back, confess, stand before him, and just declare, whatever's going on, my heart, my desire, my aim, my future is to walk in the light as he is light. Sometimes you have to speak that out, to dispel it, to be able to see it again. It's good to do these things. How about John 15 and verse 8? Chapter 15 and verse 8. With regard to him, Jesus, being the true vine and so forth. And he goes, if any abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask and you just what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. That fruit is light. It's seen. It's fruitful. You can't eat an apple or a grape if you don't see it first. So you know by seeing if it's an apple, a grape or a pear or whatever it is, because light has revealed what it is in order to partake of it. So that is what God does in us, that we are fruitful, that we bear that fruit, because that fruit is part of the light. That is the nature of light, in which to bring forth fruit in our lives. Fruit trees cannot bear fruit if it doesn't have light. It's as simple as that. So this is what God is doing with us day by day. And you may say to yourself, well, I don't feel nothing much is happening in my life. Well, it is, because you don't go by feelings. You don't go by what you see. You go by what God has promised in his word, that he hath begun that work in you, will complete and finish it. That's what he's promised. He doesn't make any mistakes. And this is why many fail to mature. They fail to show God's provisions. They fail healings and testimonies and so on, because they're not believing. They're not believing that he can and he will do that work. They're still trapped in what they see, what they feel, what they hear, and so on. But your very circumstances are to cause you to wax stronger and bolder, and to maintain walking, keeping in that light. And if you're not in that light, then you know what to do. God's giving you the wherewithal to get back into that light. It's called the blood of Jesus. That's why we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Well, thirdly, we've looked at the nature. We're going to look now, finally, thirdly, at the purpose of this light. And so the purpose is, just reminding ourselves back in Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So this light is to shine so that men, the world outside, can see that you don't walk and act like the world or speak like the world or think like the world, but that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That is its purpose, Jesus tells us. And that's why, you see, the Bible doesn't, the world doesn't read their Bibles, but as we know, they read us. And that's why, sadly, so many Christians, their lives are the same as the world. Their lives are on the same level as their neighbour next door, or the boss at work, or people they know down at the shops, or whatever it would be. There's no difference. We're raised above that. And not only are we raised above that, but we should expect that. Do we have that expectancy within us to be different to the world? To be above the world in that sense? Are we expecting that light in us to affect when we go? Indeed, it could be something that you need to pray about. Lord, your light in me, which I believe is there, let it divide darkness this day for your glory. Well, will God ignore a prayer like that? I think not. Maybe they're the prayers that he's waiting to hear from us. We're still too often praying the wrong prayers at times. But there are a lot of Christians that just live the same level of life to their neighbours next door, and they wonder why things never happen. Isn't it interesting? I know I said this once a while back, but it's worth just reminding ourselves again. But no one notices all the mud and filth and mire on pigs, on swine, but they'll see the spot mark on a wedding garment. You see? See the difference? Because they're already in the dark. They can't discern, they can't see, but they can see a spot on your garments. So look how powerful that light is that God has invested into us. His light, that light that he spoke into being. Probably this is why many people in the world don't want to go to church, don't want to join groups. Could it be said of us? We're not exempt of this FGA, that they see nothing but inside churches, nothing but hypocrisy, compromise. We now can see why God continues to work with us in his mercy and grace. I do not take any of these meetings for granted. I don't take this meeting today for granted. This is the mercy and grace of God, that why he tarries, we can get it right. Get it right on the basis of believing, trusting him, that he will do that work which he has begun, and making ourselves available so that that light can shine in and through each of us. what we want at the end of the day. And God always tests that over a period of time, what we really want. Sometimes we don't always know what we want because we've been getting involved too much with the world and we start to become confused. I'm not really sure what I want. Well, a true overcomer is very sure what they want. However bleak it may look, or whatever the circumstances are, because they've settled it. They've settled the Garden of Gethsemane. They have settled the cross in their lives. They have settled discipleship. With that, God can build. But that will be tested. And God tests these things with the light of the world. His name is Jesus. And that's why we call on God's mercy in this hour. Because he's got a remnant and he's working with them, and they will be seen. They will be set on a hill. They will be a light. They will be a beacon. They will warn of the rocks that lie ahead. He will have his way. He will do that work. And if we don't want it, then he'll call them from the highways and the byways. Whoever hungers and thirsts, he says, come in. There is plenty to partake in my Father's house. So that is what we've been looking at, brothers and sisters, this morning. Is the light shining through? Maybe some of us need to take this away and pray on this and seek the Lord. That's good. That's healthy. That's what teaching from the Bible is to do. It's to inspire us. It's to encourage us. Yes, maybe even to provoke us. But to get us before God's presence so that he can continue to do that work, that we can continue, FGA, to walk in that light as he is the light of the world. Father, we thank you today. We believe again you have fed us, you've nurtured us, you've brought us in to the warmth of your love. We thank you for our fellowship today. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to pray one for another, believe for one another. Father, the needs that are in the church, Father, meet them. Lord, we remember those who are going through physical trial at the moment. We continue to confess your word, the light of the world, that by the stripes of Jesus we were healed at Calvary. That, Father, also you meet the needs, the financial needs. You know the costs that are in this world today, the bills that come in, everything is going up all the time. Father, you have said that we're not to be anxious over any of these things. If you so feed the birds of the air and the animals, how much more will you feed us and provide for us who are in your image? Help us to find that place of rest by faith. Help us, Lord, to walk in that light daily, as you are the light of the world. Father, we again express our gratitude for this day and for this word and for our fellowship, and help us to look up as our redemption draws near. For this we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise God.
Getting so disaster.